Next on BYUSN, a big question in the bye week. What would it take for all of us to believe that this year's BYU football team is better than last year? We discuss our answers to a loaded question. Plus, we take a look at BYU's numbers through two games and discuss what is the most sustainable from the Cougars' 2-0 start.
Cam Miller of Pro Football Sports Network returns to the program to discuss which BYU players he believes are BYU's top NFL prospects and graded out well so far. And preseason All-American Kihei Akina and Coach Bruce Brockbank for number 13 men's golf preview the start of what we think could be an awesome season.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere, hoping all of you are having a safe and memorable September 11th. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan.
Yeah, certainly a day of remembrance. Cool thing that BYU has been doing is the 9/11 tower climb. So you can go in LaBelle Edwards Stadium and climb all the steps. I participated in this in 2021, and it was emotional, especially seeing the firemen who do it in the gear. I mean, it's hard not to get emotional when you see the flags and you see all that. And of course, our hearts are very heavy here in Utah County based on what happened in Orem yesterday. So hopefully everyone's safe and okay, and we can remember those who have passed. And yeah, tough situation.
Difficult day for our country and certainly for the communities in Utah and specifically Orem and Provo. There's no way around that. And we are, in a way, grateful that we can be here today to, while those things, difficult things have happened, to offer an opportunity for you to engage with us. We understand where sports fall in the realm and the scale of what actually matters most, but we have a job to do, and we're going to do it. And we just want you to know that we appreciate you being with us as we push forward and try and get a little bit better. We're going to do that today. Rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
They're going to need to move the ball and score points against some really good Big 12 defenses to keep up with some really good Big 12 offenses.
BYU is the defense that I think they are. I think that they should be able to put all of these teams away.
What's trending, presented by Tim Daly Nissan, part of the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968. It's always a difficult assessment when you only have two games to look at and you're trying to figure out, okay, how good is a team, and specifically this BYU football team, when they haven't taken on the most notable opponents or somebody that is perceived as a difficult opponent in that matter, Jerem. But we're doing it again today because it is the early bye week, so let's throw it out there. What would it take for you to believe that this year's BYU team is better? Like, you can state it, they are better than last year's 11-2 squad.
It's going to take a significant thing, and that is getting to the Big 12 title game.
Ooh.
I think what BYU did last year, they were tied for first. They lost a tiebreaker. They didn't get there. So what's the next step? It's getting to that game. It's not even winning that game, Spencer. It's just getting to the game. Then obviously you want to win it. There's a chance they could go 11-1 overall in the regular season, 8-1. They would be better, definitively. And if there were multiple teams at 8-1 and they lost a tiebreaker, they don't go to the Big 12 title game. We could say they were better. They could be 10-2 and better. And there's a chance they're 9-3 and somehow better, depending on who they beat and when and whatever, but probably not. They need to at least go 10-2. But to me, definitively, it's easy to know if they make the Big 12 title game. They've said this out loud. Hey, we were this close. We want to make the Big 12 title game. They've said we want to be in the playoff. They want to put themselves in position there. We'd like to restate at this moment that that would be an unbelievable result.
Oh, man.
Because only four quarterbacks since 2000 have led their teams to 10-plus wins when they had a true freshman leading the way. Now, they may not have had this kind of defense sometimes. Now, a few of those teams, the Clemsons, the Alabamas, the Georgias, and so on, they had defenses like this. But this BYU team and this defense looks like it's going to give the offense and a true freshman quarterback a chance in a lot of games, especially those first six. And then you kind of embrace the next six after that, especially that next four. But the simple answer is get to the Big 12 title game. Then I can tell you, yes, they were better.
That's the next natural step. How many guys did we talk to during the long offseason that said, we want to prove that last season was not a fluke? We want to win double-digit games again and do what we didn't last year, take advantage of the opportunities late in the season win some tough games and get to Dallas and play in a Big 12 title. So, yeah, that's the clear delineation of, okay, which team was better. If you can point to that and say, well, that team went to the Big 12 championship, so yes, they are better. The hard thing for the team at BYU this year compared to last year is the schedule's so different. Through six games last year, BYU had already won at SMU. They had defeated a ranked Kansas State team, and they had won at Baylor. Like three notable wins in the first six. What's going to qualify as notable in the first six this year?
Just winning all six?
If you're 6-0, awesome. But last year's team was 6-0 with some meat on the resume.
We didn't know. Yeah, that's a great point. We didn't know SMU was awesome yet. We didn't learn that SMU was awesome until later October,
and
November.
Baylor in that regard,
right,
too.
Right, same thing. We didn't know Baylor was awesome until the end of the year. And they were 8-4 in the regular season. Had a good year. But this schedule, and you just saw it on there, there are three ranked teams sitting there in games 7, 8, and 9. And then TCU at 10. That, I mean, BYU could be 6-0, Spence, and I still won't feel like they're going to go 3-1 or 4-0 in the next four. To me, right now, as it stands, I would go, oh, please go 2-2. Please go 2-2. And be in a position where you can beat TCU, or Cincinnati and UCF, and then you're hoping to get a tiebreaker. That would be, to me, realistic best-case scenario. I'm going to allow a true freshman quarterback to be a true freshman quarterback. Yet the defense is probably going, we're going to help him. The tackles right now, who are crazy high-graded, they're top four players on the team, Jada and Gentry. We'll talk to Cam Miller about what they have. I'm looking at PFF, what Pro Football Sports Network has. They have crushed it. What is the evolution of this receiving core? LJ Martin continues to look awesome. Maybe all these things are so good. Like we talked about, the Bear doesn't have to be crazy awesome for BYU to be in a position to maybe make the Big 12 title game. Again, it's early. It's early. But so far, so awesome.
It's pretty wild that I'm sitting here saying, if BYU wins their first six games, we're still not going to be able to say that this team is better than last year's team.
Well, they went 9-0 last year. I mean, you can at 6-0. Now, BYU had a significant win. They had Clemson or somebody in non-con, and they won that game. All of a sudden, we could be like, well, that win was better than anything last
year. What is Arizona by the time BYU gets to Arizona? Let's say Arizona beats Kansas State this weekend. And they have,
Kansas State,
like the spiral continues.
Yeah.
Speaking of Kansas State, if they don't beat Arizona this week, I think they're a 1.5 favorite, then watch out for their season to just go into full-on tank mode.
Just, yes, I agreed.
Because you're 1-3,
they'll try
and
get A.J. DeBonsa somehow in the NBA draft. Okay, Arizona has Kansas State, and then they have bye week, and then Iowa State.
Ooh.
If they somehow went 2-0, we'd go, Arizona's good and on the road.
They're clearly better, and BYU's got to play in Tucson. Now that game takes on some more significance, yeah. And maybe that's a data point where it's like, oh, BYU, if you go to Tucson and beat an Arizona team that's much better, that has some meat on it. But it's going to take the back half of the schedule in large part for us to really know if BYU is on par with last season's team and opportunistic and maybe better, depending on what they do in the four-game stretch that you just pointed out. Don't be surprised if TCU is ranked by the time BYU hosts them on November 15th either.
They absolutely could. Absolutely.
There's a realistic possibility that BYU could face four ranked teams in a row in games 7 through 10. Like, that could happen.
The good news is, at that point, Bear has seen six games. So now he's sort of graduating from freshman and sort of the tail end of that, right? But those four games are tough. They're real tough. We'll see how good all those teams are when we get there. But by the way, next week, big noon kickoff, Texas Tech at Utah.
Amazing.
That's a great game.
I can't wait to watch that game.
I know. I can't wait to watch it. Yeah, I think it's going to be awesome.
Ooh, all right. Loaded question.
By the way, BYU could be better in certain areas than last year. But
on
we're talking overall.
Yeah.
If they're better than last year, oh my gosh. They look like they are, competition notwithstanding.
Our question of the day is the one we're just talking about, and we gave you our answers to. What would it take for you to believe that this year's BYU football team is better than the 2024 squad?
What if someone says, well, they have to go 10-0 because last year's 9-1.
At Sean Wilkie on X says, the offense needs to prove they are as good as last year. Can this offense keep BYU in a game and win it like they did against Oklahoma State last year?
I think the defense falters in a game?
Is the offense good enough? Yeah.
Will there be a game where they give up 30 plus? Probably.
BYU will face some high-powered teams, again, game 7 through 10. Like, there's going to be a time when the offense is going to be called upon to do more. Can they do it?
Yes, unleash the offense, as the passing game, as Aaron Rodgers.
Sean Wilkie continues, if the offense can win a game like last year, our defense and special teams are both better than last year's, and it makes this year's team a better one. Last year's team was so complete.
Yes.
It was such a complete effort.
Yeah.
Ben Peterson on X says, conference championship game.
Yeah.
Agreement there. To be better, they need to do something last year's team could not do. I think that is going to be a tough ask with a freshman quarterback.
It is a tough ask. It really is. And remember, BYU started 4-0 in one-score games. That's why they got to 9-0. Then they went 0-2 in one-score games. So there you go.
All right. Weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram to join the conversation. What do you feel BYU has to do this year to show you they're better than last year's team?
Okay, with that said, what are the most sustainable things from BYU's 2-0 start?
Most of the numbers are so ridiculous right now that it was a little bit difficult for me to find numbers that are like, okay, that seems like a fair, sustainable number. Okay, you got to dive deep into some metrics, but I'll keep it surface level. I feel like sustainable at the top is Bear Bachmeier specifically, his completion percentage. I think, Jerem, he can be a 63% passer or better. I don't think that's too much to ask for him. He's shown us that he is conservative. He hasn't given it away in two games yet. I think that that's something that BYU can do. They can have a 63% passer or better. That is sustainable. Quarterback sacks for the BYU defense. They're at 2.5 per game, 5 total. I don't think that's a crazy number given how good this defense is.
No. Traditionally, with what BYU's done in the last 5-10 years, it feels crazy. But I would love to get to the point where 2 sacks a game is not a crazy thing. Come on. That's not that many.
I think they can do this.
Get to 3.
And they might bloat the numbers based on the competition they face in the next 4 games as well, especially with East Carolina passing it a lot.
I expect 4 or 5 sacks against ECU because, like, they drop back.
Get after the quarterback.
They don't care to run.
And that number can be bloated a little bit. Takeaways. Right now, 2 a game. Between last year and what we've seen in the first 2 games this year, I'm inclined to believe that BYU can take away the ball 2 times a game.
Last year was more than 2.
Yeah, it was 29.
Yeah, 29. And 2 a game would have been 26,
yes.
Right?
I think that they can do that. The defense is creating enough volatility and chaos, and I have no reason to believe that it won't continue. If they're deeper and better, like the coaching staff says they are, like the players believe they are, why not? And then finally, I just wrote 3 words, Will Farron automatic. I think that's sustainable. He is special.
Just put dashes between them, then it's 1 word somehow. He is automatic, man.
Every time he runs onto the field, it's like, okay, BYU is going to make the kick and guaranteed points.
We will be shocked the next time he misses
yes,
the field goal.
I will.
Utterly shocked. Oh my.
He's
gosh.
Imperfect. Okay, yeah, it's likely to happen at some point, and BYU might try some really long field goals, and they're much harder in the wind and variable conditions. But he is sustainable in and of himself. Like that game, the kicking game, special teams with Will Farron.
He's clean energy.
Feels automatic.
Sustainable.
Yes.
Let's go.
Yes.
Takeaways, I agree. LJ Martin, I think, can sustain near 100 or over.
Over 100.
He's 120 right now. Remember, that's minus 2 quarters against Portland State. Otherwise, he'd be like 150, 160. And then the other sustainable thing is winning. I believe, and I said in August, I think BYU will be 6-0, 5-1, no worse than 5-1. I think the winning is sustainable for a few more games. And then you get to games 7, 8, 9, 10, and that's where the season honestly really begins. Like, how we define the season will be games 7, 8, 9, 10. We won't talk about, well, the win at Colorado, we won't talk about it. We'll talk about Utah, Texas Tech, Iowa State, TCU.
If BYU could be 6-0 and then go 2-2 in the 4, like you present. Like
they have a chance at the Big 12 title game.
You're 8-2, and if you close out against Cincinnati and UCF with wins, again, you are
10-2. You're hoping for a tiebreaker because
big
conference.
See what happens. Yep. Yes. Who did you beat in that 4-game stretch to help you win some tiebreaks?
Let's hope it's Utah.
There are some what we feel unsustainable numbers as well.
We didn't bring up a lot of the defensive numbers because these are not sustainable. There's some crazy numbers
right
now.
We would all love to believe the BYU can sustain this list, starting with 1.5 points per game.
Not per drive.
Not sure that's going to happen.
Not per drive, per game. Touchdowns allowed, just straight up.
Zero.
Rush yards, not per carry, per game, 7. What? Pass yards per game, 99.
Under 100.
ECU is going to pass for over 99, I guarantee.
106 total yards per game?
Hey, you're the math guy? That's easy math for me.
Yes, it is.
Quarterback giveaways. Bear Bachmeyer's not turned it over. He's going to turn it over at some point. And then how about the scoring margin? 46.5.
I want to see if any of these are maintained after East Carolina. Like, save that graphic.
What's the most likely of those?
Bear Bachmeyer, 0 giveaways, I think.
Yes. Rushing yards. They're not going to rush it a ton.
Because they throw
so much?
They don't
care. They throw for 373 a game.
If BYU can sack the quarterback 4 times, that will bring down the rushing number. Yes.
Well, that's what BYU's done against Portland State and Stanford.
And Stanford.
Yeah. They brought it down quite a bit. Right. The fact that Stanford rushes for 19 rush yards. I mean, that is crazy.
You want to hear a crazy juxtaposition? So yeah. We just showed you BYU giving up 7 rush yards per game against opponents.
Yeah.
BYU's running backs are averaging 7 yards per carry this game.
1 carry equals the other team's total. That's wild.
Not sure that's sustainable.
Absolutely not sustainable. I would love if the defense was like, oh, yeah? We'll show you.
Yeah. We'll show
you what's sustainable. Put it in the locker room. Like, we believe in you guys, but those numbers are crazy.
Mm-hmm.
All right, moving on to hoops. Men's basketball going to play in Maui, the Maui Invitational in 26. So not this season, next season. What do you think the BYU roster will look like when BYU plays in Maui? Because there's not going to be one A.J. DeBonsa and Richie Saunders and KBK.
Wildly different, but I do believe in the recruiting efforts and philosophy, clearly, of Kevin Young and his staff. They are getting after it. Like, how do you replace those 3 players you just mentioned? And
a difficult
hopefully
test.
Rob Wright III is still around, unless he goes off for a crazy season, which is not unthinkable, and he decides to go.
Well, when you're coming off of a Final 4 appearance, we hope.
Like, I hope he's back as point guard, and then you look at the remainder, like, okay, well, after that, maybe Xavion Staten takes a step forward.
Kennard Davis will have started probably a bunch.
Kennard becomes a guy that takes on more responsibility. Does Tyler Morus step into a bigger role as, you know, more than just the assassin 3-point shooter, right? Like
Dom Diamande hopefully will be a high flyer off the bench, slasher.
Yeah, what is Dominic Diamande?
I'm an athlete.
In 2026.
Right.
Like, I'm excited about his opportunity to go and do something even
probably
bigger.
In Richie's spot, honestly, of like that small forward type.
Yeah, yeah. Like BYU's going to have shooters. What's the roster going to look like? There's going to be full of shooters and full of value. That's the word that Kevin Young keeps using. People get so inclined to look at like ESPN top 100 recruiting rankings. And he was asked recently, like, are you just going to target top 100 guys? And he said, I'm going to be frank with you. I don't even know the top 100 is good enough for what we're looking for in terms of value.
Interesting.
Like, we're looking at value in the portal and obviously in high school, and whoever gives us the greatest value,
right,
we're going to go after those guys. So there will certainly be some turnover, but it'll be a high value team.
I'm glad they're in Maui because that's the number one preseason tournament. It's awesome. Great exposure on ESPN. I love it. I'm excited for that group. Yeah. And we're just trying to get on that plane somehow.
Number 19. Yes. Oh, my goodness. Number 19 BYU women's volleyball plays their first true test against number 16 USC tonight in the LMU Invitational in Southern California. Jerem, does BYU need this win for their non-conference resume when it comes to assessing their resume for the NCAA tournament?
It is the best team they will play in non-conference. It would be nice. There are 5-6 ranked teams in the Big 12, so there's plenty of opportunities for quality wins in conference. But yeah, it would be great. If they lose, I don't think it's a huge deal. But their main goal is to host the first and second rounds. And last year they were on the road. So if you get this win and you're top 2 or 3 in the Big 12, I would think that you are probably hosting first and second round games. And when BYU does that, most of the time they win those and go to the Sweet 16. Mm. So yeah, tonight is a big match.
I just hope that BYU can rise to the moment. They've done this so traditionally in the past where, like, they've played some of their best volleyball against some of the toughest competition. Like, that's become, like, a thing that Heather Olmstead teams do. I hope that they can prove it because there aren't going to be as many opportunities.
This is the best one in non-con. And that's ending here in, like, 2 weeks. They're playing 2 weeks from tonight. They're playing Colorado. in Big 12 play.
That's wild.
Yeah.
It's that fast.
Yep.
So hopefully they can get it going, figure it out.
Thule Davis, Clay Little Chambers, let's go. Rams head coach Sean McVay said in an interview that he got a text from a friend about Puka Nacua. Quote, he must mix his oatmeal with cement because he's so tough, end quote. Is there a part of you that actually believes this?
I want to say yes.
A couple pebbles,
yeah.
Fruity pebbles maybe?
No, he clearly is not, but his toughness is maybe his greatest attribute. Like just his ability to...
Physical, mental toughness.
Wrestle away defenders, make incredibly tough catches. Like it's, I feel like I've seen it all from Puka at times. Like, wow, man, he's just. But then he'll do something else. I'm like,
last week was a gash above his eyebrow.
Yes.
Comes back in.
Just does.
Thought he might have a concussion. He clears protocol. He comes back 10 for 130.
Dude is
come on,
super tough.
Yep.
And so I love that exaggerated explanation of him. But his toughness, I think, next to the brightness of his personality, I feel like those are his two greatest attributes. Why everybody loves him and why his coaches love him.
I'm excited to watch his brother Tay for BYU this season. I think with JoJo Phillips' injury, we may see some Tay Nacua.
They fear nothing. The Nacuas fear nothing.
Well, they've been through a lot, man. Go watch that Deep Blue if you haven't seen it. They are motivated to be great.
No moment is too big. Like that is a unique attribute mentally, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Super impressive.
Love him, man. If you miss any interviews, trending topics, other BYU Sports Nation content, you can always find it on demand on our BYU Sports Nation YouTube channel.
After the break, Cam Meller of Pro Football Sports Network is back on the program. Which BYU players does he believe are the Cougars' top NFL prospects right now? All the stats on BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968.
Defense gets beyond legit.
Well, I knew that this was going to be a defensive-led team. Hopefully you get to slowly bring along Bear Bachmeyer. You know, when he's been asked to do things, he's played well. I mean, he lives up to that number 47 number, I'll tell you what.
We are live at Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. And it is time to go inside the numbers and do so with friend of the program, Cam Meller of the Pro Football
back,
Sports
baby.
Network. He is a spreadsheet sensation, if you will. Knows where to look, what numbers matter, and certainly as it pertains to BYU in the Big 12 Conference. Cam, how are you this morning?
I'm terrific. As we were saying, it's spreadsheet sensation. I've not been called that officially, but I'll absolutely take it. I'll gladly accept said moniker going forward.
All right. I can appreciate that. So with that in mind, and having looked at so many spreadsheets and so many numbers, I know it's only two, maybe three games into the season for most college football teams. Specific to BYU, what have you learned about BYU in their two games played?
The defense is tough. I think no matter what way you boil it down, preseason expectations for this defense were probably pretty high, but I think, sure, take into consideration the strength of the opponent for the first two games. They've exceeded those expectations and have probably set even higher expectations as the season goes along. What we aim to do with our numbers and that I've created is to look at the stability of them and avoid a lot of the noise. And you look at what factors into a good grade are those things that replicate themselves from week over week to week to week, season to season. And that's what BYU has done a great job of so far, two games in, proving our metrics correct, but also winning football games with their defensive recipe.
So what are you seeing that is sustainable, that maintainable? We were just talking about some of the ridiculous defensive numbers that BYU's putting up right now. What do you see that they can keep doing?
Overall, it's everything defensively so far that's gone into it. It's the yards per play that they're allowing is because they're getting pressure on the quarterback and pressure on the opposing offensive line in both run and pass situations, pushing the offensive lines up the field or back the field, depending on which way you look at it. And ultimately, it's cohesive football that we have numbers on. It's offensive rush success rate that they've allowed, and then a defensive pass success rate that they've sustained as well. Both of those are in the top 20 in the country. And those are the metrics, no matter the strength of the opponent, because we have these adjusted metrics, adjusted numbers that look at the opponents, and BYU is still top 20 no matter which way you fold it. And so the success rate of the cohesive nature of all 11 players for 2 weeks has been astronomical for what we thought we would see this season.
It is interesting when you assess the level of competition, and it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that things will inevitably get much tougher for BYU in the next four games, beginning with at East Carolina in a little over a week, and then you get into Big 12 play, and then the back six look really tough, Cam. So how should fans of BYU manage expectations with those astronomical numbers you're talking about, knowing that it's going to get a lot tougher?
Yes, it gets a lot tougher, but that's where I like to look at what helps sustain defensive success, because this is going to be the defense that has to carry them. Do they have to be like that, 2001 Miami Hurricanes defense, that they would have gone 8-4 without the offense scoring a touchdown? No, they don't have to be that good, because we have some numbers on offense that indicate some positive success going forward. We'll get into, I'm sure, those later, and specifically him later at running back. But to me, they need to continue to play that comprehensive football across the board, all front seven to the back seven. When you divide the linebackers up, they need to continue to get pressure without blitzing and allow their base pass rush to do what they've been able to do so far against much better offensive lines. Maybe not against ECU in 2 weeks, but or a week and a half. But as the straight season goes along, the offensive lines will get significantly better. So if they can maintain that pass rush that they have, the base pass rush, and get pressure without blitzing, that allows obviously for more defenders in coverage and keeps that success rate up.
The defense is awesome. Special teams has frankly been incredible again for BYU so far. Offensively, certainly some good things, some room to improve. What are you seeing from the BYU offense and Bear Bachmeier?
Yes, so Bear's done what he needs to do, right? It's one of those situations. I'll go back to that 0-1 Miami Hurricanes team that Ken Dorsey was the quarterback, and they won all the games with Ken Dorsey at quarterback, doing not a whole lot. He was the afterthought, and that's shocking. Not saying Bear will be the afterthought of this team, because I think we've seen a couple of throws and a couple of decisions that you like to see going forward, limit some of those slower processing reads, and then ultimately just get the ball in space to the playmakers. And I think the biggest discrepancy so far is that we've seen a couple of pretty bad drops. I believe we're at just over 14% of the catchable passes thrown by Bear Bachmeier himself have been dropped. So we need to get better play from the wide receivers overall. But Bear, to me, has played that mistake-free, keep the offense on schedule, not have to do too much. Don't be Superman. Go out there and run the offense like you know how to run it. And this is things will shake out fortuitously for them.
He is Cam Miller. He works for Pro Football Sports Network. And again, as we have established, he is the spreadsheet sensation on BYU SN today. A lot happening there with that phrase for sure,
love
Cam.
It.
What do you feel it would take for BYU football to do this year that would make you think they're on par with the 11-2 Cougars last year, or maybe even a little bit better than last year?
I won't put foot in mouth here, but I will say absolutely the defense looks to be better. And I think that's where maybe the discrepancies as the season went along, obviously, as you know, injuries will take hold and the nature of the attrition of a football roster will happen. To me, this team seems deeper on defense. So I think what they need to do to be better than last year, or at least on par with last year, is continue to cohesively block up front and allow Bear to be that quarterback that runs that simplified offense and then eventually start opening the playbook as we get a little bit more comfortable. Just maintain health, because I think right now, as long as what I just said earlier too about wide receivers, if we can get a few more plays from the receivers, a few more splash plays, right now the special teams and defense playing like they are, this is a better team than last year already.
Is there a scenario in the win-loss category that BYU could not get to 11 wins, yet you still feel like they're a more quality team this year than they were last year?
I do think so, and I think that probably speaks more volumes to the level of competition in the Big 12, because I think you probably drop one or two of those games and still sit there at 10-2 with probably a better roster on paper, a better performing roster on all of those, except maybe one of those two games that they do drop, if they did drop a game. So yes, I think cohesively, as long as the team starts to pick up in the areas that they're lapsing and reach or get closer to how well the defense is performing, and as long as that continues, I mean, there are some of these things, but Bears play when protected and clean in the pocket is up there with Sam Levitt for not against the Mississippi State, but previously in his previous season last year, where Levitt was, you know, exceeded expectations. That's where we're seeing so far through two games, and that is one of our most stable metrics. So I think keeping him protected and going forward that way, you absolutely can look and say maybe a 10-2 team in the regular season is a better team still, no matter the record.
10 wins would be awesome. I am here for it. Who are the top five graded players on BYU's team right now according to the sheets?
the sheets and I checked these, I double checked them and then triple checked them and I wrote them down. So forgive me for reading. I had to get them right. So you have left tackle Isaiah Jata as your number one graded player so far. And I think there's a lot of people that will get their eyes open to his level of play if he continues that as the season goes along, not just for potentially some individual awards, but for the NFL draft. And then, so I'll go down the list then. LJ Martin, Andrew Gentry, and then the usual suspects on defense, Jack Kelly and Isaiah Glasker. Those are your top five graded players currently.
So the two tackles in the top three, that's a big deal because they're new starters for BYU. Obviously, Gentry from Michigan was a really nice pickup, a guy that started to start last season, got a Liz Frank. He's back. And then, of course, Isaiah Jata from Colorado played a little bit last year. What does that mean for BYU that two of the top three so far, and LJ Martin, of course, are newcomers essentially in the starting lineup that have had a massive impact?
Yeah, it's the new wave of college football where you have to usher in transfer portal athletes quickly. You cannot, it's no longer you get them and sit them and let them learn and then let them play eventually. You have to get these players in and get them acclimated quickly. And I think maybe the tide turns for a Kalani Sitake head coach team that is a portal team potentially going forward. We've seen some success, obviously, in previous years with previous positions, but to get tackles in, it's not an easy position for them to usher in and allow them and then see the fruits of their labor in such a high success rate. So yes, take the defenses that they've played a little bit with the greatest salt, but again, we adjust to the opponent and they've been that good through two games against maybe not quite inferior competition, but absolutely not the best competition. But even with the adjustments, they're still up there among the best in the country at both tackle spots.
Cam, interestingly enough, in that list of five players you just laid out for us, there is not a mention of Keanu Tanuvasa, who, according to some NFL experts, is, in their opinion, the most draftable prospect on this BYU team. Where do you see Keanu in that conversation among the others that you feel will be drafted?
He's up there in the grades. He's not quite top five, but actually, so our grades, you know, are typically they're college football oriented. So how well do they perform on a Saturday or Friday or Sunday, Monday, depending on what day of the week we're playing in week zero to week one. He's there. He's in the top 10 of the top graded players. But right now our draft prospects, our draft analysts actually have him as the second most draftable player, the second highest ranked player on our draft boards. And I think that probably speaks volumes to not necessarily having to do a whole lot from the interior in terms of a college football grade. But what he does is eat up the double teams. He can beat pressure or he can get pressure quickly up the middle. And we found that interior pressure is significantly more valuable than pressure on the outside. And so a guy like him that consistently win his battles with either the center or the guards, even if he kicks outside a little bit to a battle against tackles, we've seen him win so fast and so well that the draft picks have already caught on. They know he's there. He's right behind LJ Martin, actually, as the second most draftable prospect right now on the BYU roster.
I love to hear that, especially with the running backs BYU's produced over the last couple of years in the NFL. Let's talk about the next game for BYU. Bye week this week at ECU next week, who loves to chuck it. What are you seeing in this matchup?
They love to chuck it. Honestly, I think Caden Hauser is a quarterback. He's like a Brett Favre in the sense he's not afraid to throw it everywhere, anywhere, and at any point. And so you have to get pressure on him because that's where we've seen the struggles is that this team, they don't quite have the playmakers like they used to have. Or that maybe ECU fans have gotten used to. It's a tough environment to play on the road there, and the Carolinas are not quite friendly to BYU in years past. So going there with a little bit of knowledge that this is probably the best offensive line that they're going to face and probably the most pass-happy offensive unit that they're going to face all season long until maybe Arizona State, if that matchup comes to fruition with full rosters. But yeah, ECU, they don't get a lot of pressure up front, and they've struggled to stop the run. So I expect to see a lot of LJ Martin and maybe even Bear keeping the ball a little bit more times this game.
2-0 BYU, as we mentioned, at East Carolina next. Then you open up with three Big 12 games at Colorado, West Virginia at home, and at Arizona. We believe the BYU will be favored in all of those games, Cam. So what are your expectations for BYU through the first half of the season when it comes to the win-loss record?
The one that scares me is at Arizona, if I'm a BYU fan. I don't probably can't hide it anymore. I will always root for the Cougs at this point.
Yes, sir! We knew it!
Yes, sir, Cam!
We knew it!
So, at this point, the one that scares me is at Arizona, because I think if we get to this point with Noah Fifita throwing like he has been throwing, and the inclusion of their new transfer portal receiver, and I think that what they've been able to do, they're not quite going to be better without McMillan at receiver, but they do have more options, and Fifita's looked a little bit better without having to throw to his best friend all the time at receiver. And so Arizona scares me a little bit. I would still say 6-0 by the end of that game.
Let's go. Cam Meller on BYU Sports Nation. In 15 seconds, Cam, how can BYU fans and college football fans find more of your spreadsheet awesomeness?
Spreadsheet awesomeness coming soon to a desktop or mobile phone near you. We will have dashboards with all of our grades available, actually. So it'll be profootballnetwork.com and on Twitter at Cam Meller, the easiest place. I will share all of the information, probably too much information. So spreadsheet sensation will overshare the information for you.
I love it. Great to catch up with you. We appreciate the time and the insight.
Thanks, Cam.
Yeah, my pleasure. My pleasure, guys. Thanks as always.
Cam Meller, awesome, man. I love that info. Check out the newest episode of the Deep Blue Podcast featuring men's basketball director of player development, Jordan Brady, as he shares experiences that have helped shape him during his basketball journey. You can find it wherever you get podcasts.
After the break, BYU men's basketball going back to Maui. Details on that. Plus, women's volleyball faces their first big test of the season and more Big 12 Weekly Awards for the Cougars. All of that discussed in headlines next on BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
I'm Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. And these are your Thursday headlines.
Men's basketball will play in the Maui Invitational at the historic Lahaina Civic Center in Hawaii in November of 26. As announced yesterday, BYU will be one of eight teams in the field. Arizona, hello Big 12 homie. Clemson, Colorado State, Ole Miss, Providence, Washington, and VCU are the others. This will be BYU's fifth trip to Maui in program history.
On to Cougars in the NFL, specifically Chris Brooks and Zane Anderson with the Green Bay Packers take on the Washington Commanders tonight. Big matchup on Thursday night football. Brooks, of note, had one carry for 1 yard and a Packers win over the Detroit Lions last week.
Number 19 women's volleyball plays number 16 USC tonight in the first of three games at the LMU Invitational in LA. This will be BYU's first match away from the Smithfield House this season.
Congratulations to Mia Getchy of BYU Women's Soccer, named the Big 12 Freshman of the Week after scoring her first career brace, a couple of goals, and a 2-0 win over Utah State last Saturday.
Both those goals were bangers. You had the header, you had the flick. That was awesome. Justin Sterner pitched two scoreless innings and struck out two batters for the A's in a 5-4 win over the Red Sox last night. Sterner hasn't given up a run in his last 6 1/3 innings pitched.
And we wish the best of luck to former BYU men's golfers Patrick Fishburne and Zach Blair, who tee off today at the ProCore Championship in beautiful Napa, California. Preseason All-American, and speaking of golf, Gihei Akina and BYU head coach Bruce Brockbank of the men's team joined the show next to preview the start of what we feel is going to be a very memorable season. This is BYUSN.
Have so many great people involved in the BYU program, and they're able to recruit incredibly because of their character.
Incoming BYU freshman Gihei Akina, the youngest player ever to win the Utah Open.
Nice.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B, and joining us now, as promised, are the head coach of BYU men's golf, Bruce Brockbank, and one of his heralded outstanding recruits who is now making his impact on the BYU men's team, Gihei Akina. Great to have both of you gentlemen with us.
What's up, guys? How's it going?
Good, good. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. This has been a fun week for BYU golf. It started on Monday with Cougar Day, and when you have Tony Finau in the mix and you got a Masters champion and Mike Weir there, Bruce, hard not to get nostalgic and feel super excited about that.
For sure. Anytime, you know, Carl Tucker started that 65 years ago, and the tradition continues, and to have the past players come back and then all the boosters and sponsors of the event, it's just a wonderful day, and it's great for our student athletes. They get a feel for what they hear all the time is about the tradition and of BYU golf, and that's front and center for sure.
And those relationships are awesome. You've been here over 30 years. Your kids, if you will, from the team continue to grow. How'd Spencer do, by the way, as the MC?
Unbelievable.
Of course he did.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, over
crushed
the top. It just doesn't get any better.
Bruce awesome. Is my hype man, Jerem. He's my hype man.
I thought I was the hype man. Bruce is bringing it today. Yeah, let's go.
I appreciate that. Gihei, what's it like for you to visit with a guy like Tony Finau and Mike Weir, for that matter? And what type of advice are they giving to you at this point in your career?
Yeah, those two guys are legends in the state of Utah. So it was cool to. I've played with them a few times, so I'm just lucky to kind of learn from them. You know, they're two, in terms of players, they're almost two opposite players. Tony obviously bombs it, and Wiersze is, you know, a master with the wedge and short game. So, you know, learning certain things from both of them and taking them, and it's cool.
You have a relationship with a lot of these guys already, but what's it like to hang out and have a casual interaction where you're not competing, but you want to win, you play, and you get to know all these guys before you even suit up for BYU?
Yeah, it's cool. Tony spends a lot of time in Hawaii, so we'll see him there and, you know, hanging out. Gotten to know his kids pretty well, and we know his family really well. So, you know, just hanging around with them, you know, it's greatness. So it's obviously pretty cool.
It was a big weekend for them because they posted on Instagram that Tony and his wife both spoke in church.
Mm.
So it was a big weekend.
Real pressure. That's a pressure cooker.
That's pressure.
I would argue that Sunday was bigger than Monday.
Great stuff.
It was a day off for us.
Bruce, out of curiosity, we know that you had ties to Gihei's older brother, Keanu, who was a great player for BYU in his own right and a multi-sport star. But when did Gihei first get onto your radar, and when did that recruitment process begin?
You know, I think we were talking about Gihei maybe a year after, you know, we saw Keanu play. You know, I was out watching the Lone Peak boys, right? The Brenchleys and the Lundells and whatever. And
yes.
There was this PG guy that kept shooting 64, 65. And I said, who is this kid, right? And then you hear, you know, you put Keanu in that spot, you know, you just, that doesn't happen. Your kid's got to have something if he's shooting those kind of scores. And so it was easy for me to, you know, kind of, he'd got my attention quite a bit. And so I'd go watch him, and then he, you know, shooting those scores, he's playing with the guys we're watching anyway. So it was really fun to have a chance to watch him under those circumstances, and then to see how it's all played out. Because he had to, you know, he traveled a tough road. He had to try out and didn't make it the first time, and then came back the next time, and then became a big impact player for us. It was, but what a competitor and what an athlete. It's in the genes in that family.
Yes,
and,
yeah,
and this
clearly.
He's got a little bit of that too.
When did you start to love golf? When did this begin?
You know, when we moved here to Utah from Hawaii, I was about 10 years old, and that's when I played in my first tournament. And from there, I kind of just got a little bit better each year. And that's when I kind of started to like golf. I played basketball growing up mainly, and so I kind of transitioned into golf. So I think around 12, 13, that's when I started to realize that golf was my thing.
Can you take Keanu in basketball? Because we famously showed him putting up buckets against LaMelo Ball.
Basketball, I don't know.
You got him in golf?
Golf, I can get him sometimes, but basketball, he's got me there.
Sometimes.
We love, yeah, sometimes.
That's the humble answer.
Absolutely. Kia Akina and Bruce Brockbanker with us on BYU Sports Nation. When you look at the team as an overall entity, Bruce, coming off finishing 13th at Nationals and winning a regional in Reno in crazy conditions, what's the next step for this program? Because you do feel optimistic about the direction that you're headed as a team.
For sure. We have, you know, we got a great group of guys. We lost some very pivotal players last year and Zach Jones and Cole Ponich. But we've got some guys that, you know, they're ready to fill in. And you know what happens every year? You get to your team, and then you have those guys that are going to graduate. And we lost two good ones, but we have, you know, arguably as good of freshman class as anybody in the country, in my opinion. A lot of great players, but some really good ones here. And so we're excited about the new challenge. You know, there's just great teams all over Division I men's golf. And we're a part of that mix, and so we're excited about that.
Gihei, you've signed with BYU. It's your freshman year. We've thrown you into this group of exciting freshmen with A.J. DiBonsa and many others at BYU. What are you most excited about in your freshman year at BYU?
I think just traveling with the team, going out with the team. That's always a fun thing for me outside of golf. But yeah, obviously competing with this guy and for this guy. But yeah, I'm excited. We have a really good team this year, so I'm excited to see where it goes.
Have you been surprised or, I guess, noticed how good the swag is with BYU Golf? Because of all the teams at BYU, it's another level to me, honestly.
It's in the highest demand.
It really is. It's pretty awesome.
I feel like everyone and their dog has one of these hats. So that's so something.
Hey, ode to the 81 national champs, right?
There like, we go.
Yeah.
That's Carl Tucker's logo.
Absolutely.
Yes.
No, seriously.
You know, we got to give credit where credit's due. The uniforms and all the swag, that's Coach Miller.
That's
Todd Miller.
That is
Todd.
Swaggy Todd.
Shout out Todd.
He just wears it.
It's a team effort. Let's go.
Kia, you were just talking about a bomber like Tony Finau because he hits it so far off the tee, and then where is he being a specialist around the green? As you assess your own game, where do you feel like you are strongest in golf? I know you want to be good at all of it, but what do you feel like is the thing you do best right now?
Yeah, iron play has always been a strength of mine, ball striking, especially short irons. But yeah, if you can ball strike it, you can play anywhere in the world. And then, yeah, the rest of my game, I feel like it's pretty solid right now. You know, never satisfied, so always trying to get an edge.
Is number 13 a fair preseason ranking for you, or do you just ignore that number?
You know, I'm old school. That's stuff that, I mean, it's nice because the kids deserve that. However, now you got to go play, right? And it starts next week. And so, you know, you get out there and get in contention and try to win those golf tournaments, and then, you know, that speaks for itself. But we've got to, you got to go get after it before you can worry too much about that.
Along with Kie, who, by the way, just won the Utah Open, and he was the youngest.
Congratulations on that.
Incredible.
That was cool.
Like, that is
amazing.
Wild. Who else do you feel like you're going to rely on to carry and shoulder some of the additional burden on this year's squad?
That's a great question. You know, we're going to rely on Kie and Peter Kim and, you know, those guys that have been the top, Tyson Shelley, Simon Kwan. Those are kind of the guys that have carried the torch the last couple of years, and then you got that new group of kids that are going to come in and really make a difference, and every one of the guys are going to have to get better for us to have a chance to win at the end of the year. And that's what we're out there this morning getting after it, and we need a bunch of those days to be ready to go when it's time in April and May.
Kie, why was BYU the right place for you?
Guys like him, Coach Brockbank and Coach Miller, you know, I love them when I got to meet them. I've gotten to know them for a long time now with my brother going to school here. But I feel like I'm going to grow not only my golf game, but as a person and, you know, strengthen my testimony while I'm here playing for these guys. And just the people around BYU and the support that BYU gets is unlike any other school that I saw. And that was something special to me.
We're glad to have you here, to say the
least.
Yeah,
we're stoked, man.
I'm glad to be here.
Beat the Utes Monday. Let's go.
I think I saw Bruce the night that you officially committed, and I saw him do a leap for joy.
I think he did a flip, a front flip, which is crazy, right?
At the Marriott Center.
I was up watching one of the Shelley boys play basketball when he called. In fact, it was I'm not much of a gymnast, but there was some
That's hilarious. I was joking, but we got the real story.
There you go.
You actually did do a leap for joy.
Did the splits.
Y'all would too if you got the commit from this
exactly.
guy.
Absolutely.
Right? Exactly. Great to have both of you with us.
Thanks, guys.
BYU
Thanks for coming
Nation.
In.
We love BYU golf. On to the next. What would it take for all of you to believe that this year's BYU football team is better than last year's squad that went 11-2? More responses to our question of the day on BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by PAX, healthcare careers built for victory.
Question of the day, what would it take for all of you to believe that BYU football in 2025 might be better than what 2024 did?
Just give me 10-0 and then I'll say it.
At Craig Durandal on X with a great submission says, beat Utah by 2 points. Not just one.
Nice.
Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX.
That wasn't the elite.
I know. Healthcare careers built for victory. From Tom Sings 23 on Instagram, who says 11-2 and make the Big 12 championship game.
Hey, if you're there, win it.
Yes. Yeah, I might give Craig Durandal the elite number.
Yes. Like
that's really good.
Hey, we're giving Co today. Co elite voice.
Today's Rise of Shadows presented by Mountain America, official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Yeah, just remembrance on this 9/11, and of course, with everything that happened yesterday in Orem. Just heavy hearts, and hopefully everyone is blessed by peace in their life in the way that they can.
Well said. Our thanks to today's guest, Cam Miller, Kia Akina, and Bruce Brockbank.
Ballers, all of those guys. Sorry to Dennis Pitta, we ran out of time.
For Jeremy, I'm Spencer. Shout out to Ray Braithwaite. We'll see you tomorrow. Go Cougs.
Picking them up and putting them down.
95 yards.